into the message. Yeah, let's pray. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, because the entrance of your word gives light. Praise God. How many of you know that's true? The entrance of his word abolishes darkness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, Lord, bring that word today, even as the scripture says, it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents. It pierces asunder even the soul and the spirit, and it goes inside the bones and the marrows. And it brings healing in its health to all that's inside of us, even health to your inside, to your navel, to your body, and everything. Father, glorify thyself, O Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, some of you were here a few weeks ago. We started to preach on the glory of God. And entering into his glory and so forth like that. You know, and the message, if you remember it, in his presence. The awesome glory of God. And we talked about that for a few weeks. And then I said, you know, a vital part of that message was going to be continued, I think, the next week. And then, you know, somehow we didn't do it, and then there was Easter and we didn't do it and so forth. And this message that I'm going to preach this morning, I have waited 2 years to preach this message. And every time I wanted to do it, the Lord wouldn't let me. So every one of you that is in here today, God has appointed you to hear this message. Because, you know, every time I've wanted to preach this message, he just wouldn't let me, you know. And I, you know, I prepare something, you know. He would just give me something else. But today, I'm going to start by reading first a scripture, and I'll tell you what the message is in a minute. But I'm going to start here in 1 Peter. I'm going to read this in 1 Peter. I'm going to read at chapter 1 of 1 Peter. And I am going to start at verse 2. And this is for you, the elect of God, in here this morning. Now, if you don't know the Lord before we leave, you'll get an opportunity to give your life to the Lord. We never want to close any service before that, because, you know, the power of God is going to be here today, as you can feel him already. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. Now, grace be unto you. How many of you say amen to that? And peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again. See, he's begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, and he says, I'm going to skip a couple of verses here, and then I'm going to go to verse 10 of the same chapter. He's talking about salvation and so forth that is going to be revealed. Now, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did testify beforehand of the sufferings of Christ. Notice, the sufferings of Christ. And then the glory that should follow. So I want you to take notice of that. The sufferings of Christ. And then the glory that should follow. And unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister those things which are now reported unto you, by them who have preached the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent from above. Which things the angels desire to look into. Now the message we are going to preach today, even the angels are desiring to look into. Now the devil, you know, he's not part of that. He didn't, you know, get a chance to know what it's going to be and so forth, you know. So, but the angels desire to look into these things because they don't have salvation. How many of you know that? The angels don't have salvation. Salvation is for us. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 42, and I'm going to read verse 8. And then in a minute, I will tell you what the message is going to be. Isaiah 42 and verse 8. Isaiah 42 and verse 8. I am the Lord, and that is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Now that's the Lord that said that. The Lord said, I am the Lord, and that is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Now I want you to jump to John chapter 17 and verse 22. And that's where the message is going to come from. In a minute, I'm going to tell you what the title of the message is. Now he says here, as a foundation to this message, he said, my glory I will not give to another, neither will I give my praise to graven images. And then if you turn to John chapter 17 and verse 22. Now this was the prayer that the Lord Jesus himself was praying for the elect before he went to the cross. And he said many things in that prayer, but I'm just going to read the one verse. And we're going to see how we move from Isaiah 42 and verse 8, where he said, I will not share my glory with anybody. How we move into John 17 and 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. How many of you like the sound of that? Now this is the God that said, I will not share my glory with anyone. But right here he's saying, that very glory, hallelujah, I have given to them. Oh my. In order that they may be one and so forth like that. You know. And then we're going to preach on this message today. The road to glory. The road to glory. Now how do we get from I will not share my glory with anybody to I have given them the glory which you gave me from the beginning. Now, this message is going to be so crucial. I want everybody, don't let your mind sway here and there. You stay with the message, because the Lord, he wants me to preach it this morning. And we are going to go into the message now. The road to glory. Now, how did Jesus himself get into his own glory? How did he do it? Well, I've got some scriptures to share with you here, just to lay a foundation for that, and then to see how we should get into the glory that God promised us. In Luke chapter 24, now, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, some of the disciples were troubled and so forth like that. And this story picks up with a couple of them that were on the way to a place called Emmaus. And as they went, Jesus moved and joined himself to them. So I'm going to read a portion of that story. I don't have time to read it all, but I'm going to read some of it to you this morning so that, you know, to bring out the point that we have. And from verse 13, he said, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. Verse 14 of Luke 24. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And that's how Jesus was crucified and all of these things and so forth. And it came to pass as they communed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near. And he went with them and so forth. And they, but their eyes were holding. You see, God, you know, had, you know, left the scale on their eyes so they wouldn't know that it was the Lord Jesus right there. And so he said, Jesus said to them, what manner of communications are these that ye have? That's verse 17. One to another. And why are you sad? You know, why are you sad? And then he said, you know, are you a newcomer here or a stranger at all? You know, don't you even know the things that have heard, you know, happened here all, you know, all this weekend and so forth, this last few days? And Jesus said, what things? See, because he wanted to hear from them. And they began to tell him what it is and so forth. You know, and they say, well, you know, they, you know, this man of God, you know, great prophet, Jesus, you know, he came and so forth, Jesus of Nazareth, and they crucified him, and they done all of these things, and some of our company went there, and they couldn't find his body, and so on. And they began to be sad. Now, Jesus said to them in verse 25, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and then to enter into his glory. The way that the Lord entered into his glory was through sufferings.
Yes,
and he being the firstborn among many brethren, the very blueprint. Now, everybody wants to get that glory. And when we preach that glory, everybody wanted to get that glory and get that presence. And everybody wants to be glorified. The scripture says, yes, those who he foreknew, that's in Romans chapter 8, them he also called. And when he called them, he justified them. And when he justified them, he glorified them. Well, but how do they really get into that glory? See, and that's all we're going to be talking about this morning. Now, so Jesus Christ is the author and the captain of our salvation. The Bible says that in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, and verses 9 and 10. He is the captain of our salvation, and the way that he entered into his glory, that's the same way that we are going to enter into the glory. Now, there is no shortcut. There is no way to get around it. God fixed it that way. And he made Jesus the blueprint. And that's the way we all have to do. Now, let me give you a little story here. In Matthew chapter 20, there were two of the disciples of Jesus in verses 22 and 23. Well, the verses preceding that, they came to Jesus and said, well, the mother came with them and said, well, let, you know, sit over here on my left hand, your left hand, your right hand, and so forth when you get into your kingdom, and all of that. And here's what the Lord had to say to them. Praise God. Matthew chapter 20, and I'm going to read verses 22 and 23. You have read this story before about John and James and so forth. Here's what they came and asked the Lord, you know, where they would sit, the kingdom and all that. And Jesus answered them in verse 22 of Matthew 20. Ye know not what you ask. Are ye able, and I'm going to ask that question today, are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink? And to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? You know, and these disciples, they were quick to jump to the answer. They say, yeah, we are able. I mean, we can drink it. We can be baptized. Whatever it is, we want to sit. We want to sit on that right hand. We want that, you know, glory and so forth like that. And Jesus said, yeah, you will drink of the cup. He put a stamp on it right there. See? You know, by their own mouth, they said they can drink it. And Jesus said, yeah, absolutely, you will drink of that cup. And that's the cup that I'm telling you on today. That's the cup I'm preaching about today. There is no escaping it. You will drink of that cup in order to get that glory. How many of you say amen to that? By the time we finish this, you will have a better understanding. Now, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, blessed are ye, verses 10 and 12 and so forth. Blessed are ye. See, when men shall revile you and say all these things falsely against you for my sake, say rejoice, sir, and be exceeding glad. Because that's the same way they persecuted the prophets that were ahead of you. Now, the sufferings for Christ must precede our being glorified with him. Just like he suffered in order to be glorified. Now, the trouble with people today is people don't want to bear his reproach. You know, but Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 13 tells us we must bear the reproach of Christ. We must take his name beyond the camp. That's beyond the four walls of this church. That's beyond the four walls of wherever your comfort zone is. You must take the name of Jesus, and you must bear his reproach. How many of you say amen to that? Well, the reason people don't like to testify for the Lord or stand up for Jesus is because they don't want to bear his reproach. You know, one time Peter, you know, they said, oh, you know, I recognize you. You're one of the disciples. He said, oh, no, I'm not. And he said that about three times. And then when the cock crew, my. The words of the Lord Jesus came back to him. See, he didn't want to bear the reproach. You know, you might say he didn't want to face the music. And you young people in the schools and colleges and so forth, you know, it might not be popular to stand up for Jesus. But if you want any part of his glory, you are going to have to be have part in the fellowship of his sufferings as well. You don't want those sufferings? You can count the glory out. Because that's the way he went into his own glory, was through his sufferings. Now I'm going to give you some other scriptures here. Don't take my word for it. But let's see what the Bible has to say about this. You know, just so you know that this is what the Lord has spoken in the Bible. Now, before Jesus went to the cross, here's what he said in John 12 and 24. He said, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. So Jesus didn't want to be the only one that will receive that glory. You know, but he gave up his life so that he can bring forth, and look at all he got for it. See, all over the world today, there are believers everywhere. Hallelujah. And you people are sitting in here today because of what Jesus did, because he gave his life. And he was willing to lay it down so that he might receive it again. And when he did, he told us also that you will also drink of the same cup. You say, we will drink of the same cup? Absolutely. If you have your Bible, here's what I want you to read. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, he says, all those that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. Everyone. Now, if you want to live godly in Jesus Christ, you're going to have to suffer for him. Now, some people don't like any kind of pain. They don't like any kind of, you know, disrespect and so forth like that. You know, they just want everybody to speak so good of them and so forth like that. Especially you young people, you want to be friends with everybody, you want to be popular and so forth like that on your job, the same way, you know, and so forth like that. But that's not the way it went in the Bible at all. In fact, the Bible says, woe unto you when all men shall speak good of you. You know, and so forth like that. That's how they spoke good of the false prophets. But when they speak evil of you, because of the name of Jesus, he said, then rejoice. Now, nobody should suffer as an evildoer. Nobody should suffer as a thief and a murderer and all of those things. Now, if you go to jail or you get arrested by police for doing, you know, evil and so forth, now that's your problem. See? But the Lord, he'll pull you out of it if you turn to the Lord. But that's not what we're talking about today. But we're talking about, you know, standing up for the name of the Lord. Wherever you are, in your schools, on your job, everywhere, you know, just standing up for the name of the Lord. Now let me read this to you here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12. It says, if we suffer, that's if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he also will deny us. Well, you say, if we suffer with him, yeah, sure. You must drink that cup in order to receive his glory. Romans chapter 8 and verse 17. Romans chapter 8 and verse 17. Now, I want to show you here that the glory that we are expecting. Now, many of you know this chapter. You also know in verse 19 the manifestation of the sons of God. The earnest expectation, waiting for it and so forth. Well, let me tell you how it's going to come. Verse 17. And if we are children, then we are heirs of God and joint heirs. Now that's joint heirs. Now you can't have it the way other than the way that Jesus got the heritage. See, and he got it through sufferings. Now joint heirs with Christ, so if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. How many of you say amen to that? Amen. Sure. You, if you suffer with him, then you'll be glorified. If you are not willing to suffer, then you can't get that glory. And everybody, man, a lot of people, many of the people that love the Lord and so far, the end of age, they're waiting for that manifestation, which is happening already, of the sons of God. See? But, I tell you what, you know, first, you know, they have to take on the sufferings. He said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. You know, so, you know, the sufferings must come that way. You know, we must suffer this, you know, in order for us to be glorified with God. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11. We must suffer for him in order to be glorified with him. Now, if we are unwilling to suffer for him, it's very unlikely I read this before, but I want to point it out to you again. The sufferings of Christ came first, and then the glory that followed. That's what 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11 says. Now, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 13 and 14 says, "Rejoice, brethren, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, we shall also be glad with exceeding." Now, all these scriptures that I'm showing you always talks about the sufferings and the glory, but first, the sufferings, not just the glory. Now, he said, "I will not give my glory to anybody," but he said, "I gave it to them already." In John, now, prophetically, Jesus said that, you know, in John 17 and 22. But how really are they good? How come everybody doesn't have that glory if he gave it to us already? Well, because you're not willing to suffer for Christ. See, that suffering must come. And then that's when the glory, because that's what Jesus did. You know, he suffered. Jesus said, "Don't you know that Jesus, the Christ, you know, had to suffer all these things first in order for him to enter into..." He even called them fools. See, didn't you know that? He had to suffer all of these things in order for him to get into his glory. Now, anybody in here today think they want to get the glory of God and don't want to pay the price in sufferings? Well, you're going to have to think it again, because the scriptures are full of the examples that we must, through sufferings, enter into his glory. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 1 and 10. He said, "The elders which are among you I exhort, and who am also an elder and a witness of his sufferings." Now, the sufferings of Christ went first, and then a partaker of the glory that should be revealed. So, always in every one of these scriptures, he talks about first the sufferings and then the glory. Verse 10 of 1 Peter chapter 5. "But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while..." See, after, not before. "After that you have suffered a while, he will make you perfect. He will establish, he will strengthen, and he will set you." How many of you say praise the Lord to that? Philippians 1 and 29. Philippians chapter 1 and 29. "Now, it is given unto you that on the behalf of Christ..." That's right. You see, you must suffer in order to be glorified with the Christ. Let me read that straight out of the scriptures. I just try to paraphrase it, but I'm going to read it. "For unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." Now, not only to believe, but also to suffer for his sake. You say, how do we suffer for Christ then? Well, listen to the very words of Jesus himself, you know, the Master, explaining it. Matthew chapter 10. Here's how he explains it. I'm going to read two verses from Matthew. 1 in 10, Matthew 10 and verse 39. And then I'm going to read Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 39. Here's how the Lord explains it. "He that findeth his life shall lose it." Now, what does that mean? It means if you love your life enough that you don't, you want to keep it, then you are going to lose it. See? But when you get to the point that you are willing to lose your life for Christ, then you will gain it. How many of you say amen to that? Amen. That's right. You know, he that, you know, holds on to his life and so forth like that, he's going to lose it. But he that gives it up for Christ will gain it, and gain eternal life also. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. He explains it in this verse very clearly what it means. Jesus said unto his disciples, Matthew 16 and 24, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself." Now, what is it to deny yourself? See, now, as long as you are still self-conscious, then you don't want people to ridicule you because you love the Lord. See, in your schools and so forth, the young people, I mean, you don't want, you know, people to say, "Yeah, you know, that one is this or that," and so forth, you know, because they reject you because you love the Lord and so forth like that. And if you are conscious of that, then you want to compromise a little bit, you know, so that you can be accepted by everybody as well. You know, Jesus said, "Except a man deny himself." and take up his cross. See? And that's a symbol of the sufferings. And follow me. See? That's the way to do it. And then whosoever shall, you know, save his life, you know. I mean, you want to be saved and so forth like that, you know. Yeah. But if you will hide in the face of contempt, or if you will hide in the face of ridicule, or even in the face of danger, you know, there is a version, there are many versions of the story, and some of you might know this, of the Columbine shooting several years ago here in the United States. How many of you know that story? There are many reports and many different versions. But the one version said that the gunman came into the school, you know, and he challenged everybody that believed in the name of the Lord. See, and this young girl, she was about 17 years old. She stood up and he gunned her down. That's right. Oh, he got awful quiet here. But I guarantee you one thing. The Lord was standing on his feet. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. You say, well, why did the Lord allow that? Well, I don't know. Now, if a gunman came into this building today and said, all of you that love the Lord, I don't know how many people would stand up. But he gunned that young girl down. My. And it was the most tragic thing that ever happened. But I guarantee you she will get a better resurrection. She's going to have that glory. Oh, my. Boy, you know, there is nothing like it. Revelations 11. And verse 12. You know, people think that those who want to... Now, listen to me. Every one of you that wants to go into translation. Now, I want to go into translation. And I believe I will. See? Because I love the Lord in all my heart. Amen? Praise the Lord. But see, the people who are going in the rapture and going in translation, you know, that they may not see death and so forth, it's not because they were afraid to die for Christ. If they are afraid to die for Christ according to the scriptures, they are not going to make it. Because everyone that holds on to his life is going to lose it. Now these people, they laid their lives down already. That's why they gained it as the first fruits. You know, they laid it down already. Oh my, you say, well, they laid it down. Absolutely. Every day they laid it down. Paul said, I die daily. They laid down that life. They didn't care the gospel, what it brought them, put them in jail or whatever. You know, they stood right there and these three Hebrew boys said, we don't care. You throw us in the fire or whatever, but we still will not bow down to your God. You know, they were ready to die. They laid down their lives, but the Lord, he pulled them out of there. Oh, that's right. The Lord can pull you out of the fire if he wants to, but he can let you go through the fire also. And if he does let you to go through the fire, that means you're going to get a better resurrection. The Bible says that some of them did not even accept deliverance, that they might obtain a better, and I wonder, I say, a better resurrection? Yes. And I saw, you know, you will never know what the Lord is going to do until we get up there. You know, but I tell you what, you want to get the same price with those who are beheaded for Christ? You want to get the same price with that young lady that was gunned down because she stood up for Christ and they gunned her down right there? And then you cannot even give a testimony about Christ? And people talk about Christ and you hide about it? And you want to be a closet Christian? And you want to sit on the same throne with the Christ? You think about it. Jesus called them fools because they thought that Christ didn't have to suffer those things. And there is only one way to the glory of God, and that is through sufferings for Christ. The only way that you are going to get to sit in that throne is you must go through and drink that cup. Now, it's not everybody that God will appoint that will have to give their lives. See, physically. But you must give your life. You must lay it down already. And that's the only way that you can pick it up again. Jesus said, this commandment I have received of my Father. Not only to lay it down, but also to take it up again. Now, anybody that is willing to lay their lives down for the Lord, they will receive it again. See, they will receive it, and not only in this life, but also eternal life. But if you are unwilling to do that, you shy away from the ridicule, you shy away from, you know, and stuff like that. You know, people won't even testify about the Lord because they don't want to be, you know, blown off or whatever. Well, you're not ready for the sufferings of Christ. my. Then you're not ready for the glory either. Listen to what Paul said in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 24. God has reserved, listen to me, people. God has reserved some of the sufferings for us. There is no getting around it. You know, you say, God has reserved? Absolutely. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 24. God has reserved his sufferings for us. There's just no way around it. That's the way that he did it. He says, Paul said, who now rejoices in my sufferings for you? And Philippa, see, that which is behind in the afflictions of Christ. Are you trying to tell me that Christ didn't do it all? Paul said, you know, I got to fill up the quota. Because the Lord left some of those afflictions and those sufferings. Because he said, you will drink the cup. That's right. You want to sit on the right hand? You want to be glorified in the manifestation of the sons of God? You want to see all of these great things happen? You will drink the cup. You must drink the cup. And that's the reason why the glory is not here. See, because the people haven't laid their lives down. Now, like I said to you, those who are going the translation, it's not because they are afraid of death. They're afraid of death, they're not even going there. But I tell you what, even those that give their lives in the great tribulation, now, you don't want to be any part of that great tribulation. See, but even those that gave their lives in the great tribulation, here's what even those that made it in the first fruits have to say about them. Now read the chapter. Read it in Revelation 12. When you read it, you'll see that those, some of them were caught up in chapter Revelation 12 and verse 5. See, the woman was pregnant and waiting to deliver, and the dragon was standing in front of her. But as soon as she delivered, see, the man-child was caught up to the throne of heaven. And as soon as they went to heaven, oh boy, there was war in heaven, and he kicked that devil out of there. Hallelujah. Sure, they did too. But here's what they had to say about their brethren that went through tribulation. They looked and they said, you know, they were all standing up. With a standing ovation for even those that had to give their lives in the tribulation. And they said, they loved not their lives unto the death. And they overcame that devil. See, by the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb, and they loved not their lives today. Everywhere in heaven, people are standing up when people give their lives for the Lord. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen was about to be stoned. And the Bible says that when he was being stoned, now this is the real heart of the elect. See, this is not that Elijah spirit. Now this is not that John and James call fire down on them kind of spirit. Now that God wouldn't have any part of that. The Jesus said, you don't know what you're saying. You don't even know what spirit you have. You know, Elijah, he used to call down the fire and so forth. Some people want to be like Elijah. Well, that's not like Jesus, see. Jesus' spirit is Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. When they slap you on the one side, you turn the other side. That's right. You know. And then Stephen, he so exemplified that. And they were about to stone him in Acts chapter 7. And he knelt down and said, Lord, forgive them. Because they know not what they do. Don't lay it to their charge. And the Bible says, oh, James, you know, he looked up and said, and the heavens opened. And the Lord Jesus, he stood up. The Bible says he was sitting at the right hand of Father, but when it came time for Stephen to lay down his life, Jesus stood up. The Bible says, I see the Son of Man standing up at the right hand of power. Jesus stood up to give him a standing ovation. Praise the Lord. Every time you lay your life down for the Lord, that is the greatest thing that you can ever do. Or you say, I've laid down my life. No. See, not everybody will be chosen to do that, but you will do it every day. See, everywhere you are, you must give up yourself. If somebody is going to ridicule you because of Christ, take that ridicule for Christ. That's how you lay your life down. If somebody is going to fire you on the job because of the name of the Lord, let them do it. He'll give you a better one too. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now some pastors, they are worried about their wallet. Some ministers and so forth. You know, well, not in this church. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, they won't even suffer for Christ and preach the truth. Because, hey, they might lose their congregation too. And when you lose your congregation, the size of your wallet goes down. Well, they have their reward, said the Lord. See. But if you will stand with that word, oh my, then when they throw you in the fire, you know, Nebuchadnezzar said, I see one like the Son of Man. Well, how did he know that? Because now he wasn't even saved. You know, and the Lord was right there with them in the fire. How many of you say praise the Lord to that? When thou goest through the fire, I will be with you. When you pass through the waters, I will be there with you. Now he never said, if you go through the fire, when you go through the fire, I will be there with you. Now you say, he could have prevented you from going. Yes, but he has a way that he has fixed it. Sometimes he'll make you go through the fire for the greater glory. How many of you say praise the Lord? And especially when it comes to testifying for the name of the Lord. Now he says, if they do these things against you falsely for my sake, then rejoice, because greater is your reward. Now, if there's anybody in here today, if you are still afraid for your life, well, that young 17-year-old girl in Columbine High School wasn't afraid, you know. And if you are afraid, boy, I tell you, you know, I'd love to meet that girl in heaven and salute her. How many of you say praise the Lord? Sure, and everyone that has given their life, and the reason that you are here today, every one of you that's sitting here, is because the early church, they laid their life down for the gospel. They beheaded many of them, they threw them in the catacombs, they did all of these things. But they stood with that gospel, and they preached that gospel, and that's the reason we're here today. Now, we have it so easy here in America. There is even no persecution, hardly, yet. Notice I say yet. You know, and in some places in the world, they can't even preach this gospel. They can't even gather together like this and so forth like that, and then just, you know, fellowship in the name of the Lord. And we have it so good. See, here in this country and so forth like that. But I carry one thing. To whom much is given, much is required. And I tell you something too. God is going to have to bring that persecution to get some people into shape. See, because when everything's going good, see, then you're not, you know, you're just not standing up for Christ like you should. Well, you know, he'll whip out that, you know, persecution pretty quick. You know. You know, sometimes when people, you know, start having trouble and so forth, you know, and when they start persecuting the saints, you know, Jesus already said that they may be one. But you know, the elect today, they don't want any part of unity at all. See? But Jesus said, I gave them that glory that they may be one. That's what he said in John 17:22. But they don't want any part of that glory. Oh no. See. But I tell you what, he knows how he's going to fix it. You know, when they begin to persecute them and so forth, they are going to come together to pray. Oh, absolutely. Well, in that day also, the brother shall give up the brother. The false brethren give up some others too. You know, the Bible says it's going to happen. You say it's going to happen, sure. But now we have that peace, we have that liberty, we should enjoy it while we have it. But doesn't mean that you back down from every challenge that you get to stand up for the Lord. When you have an opportunity every day, on your job, in schools, everywhere, you stand up for the name of the Lord. Oh my, and the Lord will stand up for you. Jesus said, if a man, see, testify of me, I also will testify of him before the angels in heaven. But if a man deny me, I also will deny him. You say, deny, Jesus will deny? Absolutely, he said so in John, he said so in Matthew when they came to him. They said, Lord, he said, Jesus said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. He said, but those that do the will of my Father. I say, some will even come to me, see. And they will say, Lord, haven't we done all those wonderful miracles in your name? And haven't we even cast out devils? And haven't we even done all of these things and so forth like that? You know, and Jesus said, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Matthew 7:21-23. That's denying. He didn't even say, I don't know you. He said, I never knew you. See? He said, you workers of iniquity and so forth like that. Yeah, well, probably because one of the things, of course, righteousness, which we preach here in the church all the time, but one of the things is probably they denied the Lord. See? And the Bible says, if any man denies me, I also will deny him. But if any man glorifies me, I will glorify him also. Now what is, you know, why is this message so important? Because we are coming into the glory of God. And for the past month or so, we've been talking about his glory, and we've been talking about changing us from glory to glory. And this message today is to show you the surest way and the only way, really, to get into that glory. The road to his glory is through the fellowship of his sufferings. Now, you must remember that as you leave this place today. If there is anything else that you will remember out of this message today, remember this. The road to the glory of Christ is through the fellowship of his sufferings. Let us stand to our feet this morning. If you are unwilling to pay that price, you're not going to get that reward. I'm going to ask Brother Buford as he comes. He's going to play this hymn. We're going to sing, I Surrender All. Now the service is not over. We're just getting into the serious part of the message. It's when we sing this song. The Bible says, examine yourselves. And I challenge everybody here today to examine themselves. Examine and see whether you have denied the faith. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Are you keeping the faith of Christ? Are you willing to stand up to the abuse, to the neglect, to the ridicule, to the shame of the cross? Or will you say like Peter, oh no, I'm not one of them. I don't even know him. As we sing this song, everybody in your hymn books, hymn number 25, I Surrender All. I want you to sing this song. And then those of you that want to make a new commitment to lay your life down for the Christ, as we are singing this song, I want you to begin to come forward to this altar. Oh yes. And if you don't know the Lord, I challenge you not to leave this place today without giving your life to the Christ. But this is for the believers. You've given your life to the Christ. You love the Lord. You come to church. You shout a few hymns. You speak in tongues. You jump up and down and so forth. But when the real test comes, you back down from standing up for the name of the Lord. But you want his glory. You want to enter into that glory which he said, I will not give to any man. But he said, I've given it to them on one condition. They must drink the cup. If you want to drink that cup, as we sing this song, I want you to begin to make your way down to this altar. Because the power of the Lord and the mercy of the Lord is here always. Now remember Peter, he denied the Lord even 3 times in one night. But the mercy of the Lord was with him because he was a child of grace. The other one went headlong into destruction. The difference today with every one of us is we are children of the election of grace. But you must come to the Lord and lay your life. And you must be willing to pay the price. I surrender all. Hymn 25. Jesus, I surrender. Oh, to Jesus I surrender all. To Him I freely give. I will ever know and trust Him in His presence. I surrender, oh, I surrender. I surrender, I surrender all, oh, all oh, to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender. Before we sing the next verse, is there anybody here that will join me at this altar and lay it all down for the Lord? Let's sing the next verse. I want everybody, you come and lay your life down for the Lord. This is the road to that glory. Every one of you that thinks you have not done enough for the Lord, you have not suffered enough for Christ, you have shied away from His name, you have not stood the test, you have not taken of that cup, the fellowship of His sufferings, I want you down in front here with me as we sing the next verse. Oh, to Jesus I surrender humbly at His feet. Ah, worldly pleasures, worldly pleasures, all forsaking, take me. Jesus, take me. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. Oh, to Him, my blessed Savior. I surrender. Oh. Will you be willing to stand before a person that has a gun and say, if you know the name of the Lord, will you be able to do it like that girl in Columbia did it? All to Jesus I surrender. Let's sing the next verse. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior. Holy Thy. Let me feel Thy Spirit. Let me feel Thy Holy Spirit. Truly know that I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender. If any man will come after Him, after me, let him deny himself, and let him take up his cross, and let him follow me. For whosoever will hold on to his life as dear unto himself, he shall lose it. But whosoever will give up his life and his very essence, and deny himself for me, saith the Lord, he shall gain it back with the eternal crown of glory. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Let's sing the last verse. all to Jesus I surrender. Never given your life to the Lord before, I want you down on this altar, because the times of ignorance God has winked at, but He now commands every man everywhere to repent. And this is not salvation where we say shake my hand, put my name on some register in the church and so forth. That's not going to get the job done. You must repent, and you must be born again, and you must turn from your wicked ways. That's how it is done. Oh yes, praise God. Hallelujah. Father Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus for everyone that has come to this altar this morning. Not unto me they came, but unto you, Lord. Some are here to give their lives for the first time, and some are here to rededicate their lives to stand for the name of Jesus. Lord, today, together as a church, and everybody in the church, I want you to lift your hands up and pray with me. Lord, together as a church today, Lord, we rededicate ourselves that we may drink of that cup, that we may even be counted worthy. Oh yes, to drink of that cup and to receive the same baptism that He was baptized with. Remember, the Bible says it was given to Him not by measure. Oh yes, you have not yet received of that baptism that He was baptized with, because He got it not by measure. But it's going to take a total surrender and a total giving it up to the Lord, and ready to take His name everywhere you go. Father, Lord, we thank You, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Now, if you are a first-time believer here this morning, if you are kneeling down here, and this is your first time ever, you want to give your life to the Lord, I want you to stand to your feet, because I want to know that. I know that some of you are here because you are rededicating your life. But if there's somebody for the first time, if there's anybody else in this church for the first time, you want to give your life to the Lord, this is your chance. Praise God. Lord, we thank You for everyone that is rededicating their lives today. Hallelujah. We thank You for the mercies of the Lord. Oh Lord, in Jesus' name, that we might be counted worthy. Not only to believe on Him, but to suffer for Him, that we might receive the same glory that He was glorified with. How many of you can say amen to that? Amen. I'd like everybody to pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank You for showing us the way to glory. Thank You for even counting me worthy to receive the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ, that I may also be partakers with His glory. Help me, Lord, every day to deny myself, to lay my life down for the sake of Christ, that I might receive it again with joy and with a crown of righteousness. Blessed be the name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I give the Lord a hand clap. Praise God. I'm going to ask the people that are here to please stand. Don't go back to your seats yet, but just stand. Those of you who came down to the altar, just stand and turn around and face the church. These cloud of witnesses are here today. And you have made this commitment to the Lord before these cloud of wind, and the angels of the Lord are here too. And the Lord will give you the grace. Amen. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it is of God that showeth mercy. All you got to do is be willing. And if you are willing to lay it down, most of the time you wouldn't even have to lay it down. Abraham was willing to give up his son, to kill the son anyhow, but he got it back again. How many of you say amen? The Lord go with you and strengthen you and cause his grace to be multiplied upon you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise God.